This morning, please, by singing together the Psalm number 1 in your hymn book, the Psalm number 1 on the page number 5 of your hymn book. That man of perfect blessedness who walketh not astray and counsel of ungodly men or stand in sinners' way. The Psalm number 1 on the page number 5, standing as we sing, and let us all sing it out with all of our hearts. Stand as we sing. Unite our hearts together in prayer. Let us all pray. Our loving God, our gracious Father in heaven, we do gather, Lord, before Thee the Sabbath morning. We come in the Savior's name, through the merits of Christ, our Redeemer, the sinless, spotless, flawless Son of God, the one who died for us in atoning death upon the cross of Calvary, the one who gave His life a ransom for many, and died the just for us the unjust, that He might bring us to God. And Father, we thank Thee for Christ the Redeemer. We thank Thee for Him coming to this world in the fullness of Thy time, in accordance with Thy great plan and purpose of redemption. And Father, we thank Thee that on that cross He cried out, "It is finished." He shed His blood. He offered Himself a once for all sacrifice for sin. And Father, we thank Thee, O God, today that there's pardon, that there's peace, that there's reconciliation, O God, with Thee, not through anything of man's device or creed, but through the Lord Jesus Christ, through faith in Him, through knowing Him and trusting Him as Savior and as Lord. And O God, as we come to Thee today in our Savior's name, we just pray, O God, for Thy blessing to be upon our services here today. We thank Thee for the return of this Thine own day. We thank Thee for this day of rest, this day of worship that Thou hast given to us. And Lord, You have said in Thy word, we are to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. And Father, we pray that Thou would just bless our coming together here today with a gracious sense of the presence of the Lord. We pray, Lord, that Thou wilt be with us, Lord, from this opening psalm to the last amen, even this evening, that there might be that very gracious, conscious sense of the presence and the nearness of the Lord. Father, we do confess our sins before Thee, O God, today. We pray for that fresh cleansing in our Savior's blood. And Father, we pray that Thou would just prepare our hearts this day to meet with Thee, and that Thou would help us, Lord, to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. And Lord, grant that the thoughts of our heart and the words, O God, of our lips, that they would be acceptable, O God, in Thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. And Father, we pray that in everything that is said and done here in this house of worship today, that Thy name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, would be uplifted and glorified, and that hearts and souls would be drawn out after Him. We thank Thee for our Sabbath school this morning. We thank Thee for the ministry of each teacher. We thank Thee for each boy and girl in our Sunday school classes and Bible class. And we pray that Thou will bless them and lead them and guide them, each one, in the ways of God. Lord, may each and every one of them early in life come to know and to trust the Lord as Savior. And for those who are already saved, Lord, bless them and do lead them on in the ways of God, we do pray. We pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, that Thou would bless our Sabbath school this year, and that Thou will continue to add to it and bless it in the weeks and months that lie ahead. Again, Lord, we return Thee thanks for the mission out at Springfield. We thank Thee for answered prayer. We thank Thee for the many that were in night by night under the sound of Thy word. And Father, even while the voice of man is silent in that community, we pray that the still small voice of God would speak on, and that Thou would save, and that Thou would grant that even through the seed that has been sown, that a work will be done in hearts and lives and souls. We thank Thee for Thy presence night by night, and Thy blessing and help given in the ministry of Thy word. And we pray that that blessing will continue with us and abide with us here today and in the weeks that lie ahead, O God, that that tide of blessing, Lord, will rise. We thank that there's no limit with God. We thank Thee, O God, that Thou hast said in Thy word that Thou art able to give us much more than this. Bless all who have gathered here with us here today. We thank Thee for every family represented. Bless every head bowed before Thee, O God. Remember Thy people. Bless every Christian in this meeting. Lead Thy people on with Thyself, we pray. Strengthen every believer in their walk with God and in their faith, O Lord, we pray. For any, Lord, going through times of testing or trial, we pray that they shall know the strengthening hand of God. Maybe any, Lord, that are perhaps walking afar off from Thee in Bypath Meadow, may they know Thy restoring grace, Thy restoring touch, even in their hearts and lives today, O God, we pray. And for any with us today not saved, not converted, still in that broad road to a lost eternity, Lord, speak to them today, Lord, and may they come as a sinner unto Christ and find pardon and peace and a life everlasting, O God, we pray. We think of those unable to be with us today because of age or sickness or infirmity. We pray, Lord, that Thou wilt bless the Lord and meet the need and lay on Thy healing hand, we pray. And for others who mourn and grieve, have suffered loss in recent times, we pray that Thou wilt comfort their hearts and that Thou wilt fill the vacant chair with the presence and the nearness of the Lord. Do bless our land today, O God, we pray. We pray for all our sister congregations that Thy blessing, Lord, shall be upon each one, we pray. And we pray, Lord, today, wherever Thy word is faithfully proclaimed across our land, think of the south of Ireland, we're thinking of the mainland of Britain as well. Lord, bless every faithful servant of God. Build Thy church, extend Thy kingdom, and grant that many today would come to saving faith and saving grace in the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Father in heaven, we do pray for our royal family. Have mercy, Lord, upon them. We pray that the light of Thy truth, the light of the gospel, will shine into that household, that Thou wilt save them, and that they will know what it is to be guided by Thy word. We pray for those that rule over us in our land and our nation, that they might rule in righteousness and in accordance with Thy word, that they too might be saved and guided and directed by the word of the Lord, we ask of Thee. We pray for revival in our land. We pray for days of reformation. We thank Thee that Thou art upon the throne today, that Thou hast not changed. And Lord, we come to Thee like the psalmist of old, And Lord, we would pray, Lord, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee. Remember, O God, for good today, our missionaries, those that labor at home and those that labor abroad, maybe far from family and loved ones today. Watch over them, bless them, encourage them, keep them in good health and strength. And Father, we pray that through their ministry, that they will see much fruit, even unto salvation in the lives of those that they would share the word of God with, we pray. Bless us now, we ask of thee. Pour out thy Spirit upon us here today in the singing of thy praises, in the reading of thy word, in the preaching of thy word. Have thy way in every heart and every life, O God, we ask. For we do pray and we ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. We'll turn again, please, in our hymn book to hymn number 60 in the page 200 of your hymn book. Jesus, thy joy of loving hearts, thy fount of life, thy light of men, from the best bliss that earth aparts, we turn unfilled to thee again. Hymn number 60 on the page 200, standing as we sing and singing it out with all of our hearts. Let us stand as we sing. Turn, please, in God's Word this morning to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 46, and we're beginning a reading at the verse number 28 of that chapter, and then going down to the end of verse 10 of the following chapter 47. So we're turning to God's Word, to Genesis chapter 46, Genesis chapter 46, and continue on with our studies in the life of Joseph. And we take up our reading today in Genesis chapter 47 and the verse number 28. And he, that is Jacob, sent Judah before him unto Joseph to direct his face unto Goshen. And they came into the land of Goshen, and Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to meet Israel his father to Goshen, and presented himself unto him, and he fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. And Israel said unto Joseph, Now let me die, since I have seen thy face, because thou art yet alive. And Joseph said unto his brethren and unto his father's house, I will go up and show Pharaoh, and say unto him, My brethren and my father's house, which were in the land of Canaan, are come unto me. And the men are shepherds, for their trade have been to feed cattle. And they have brought their flocks and their herds and all that they have. And it shall come to pass, when Pharaoh shall call you, and shall say, What is your occupation? That ye shall say, Thy servants' trade have been about cattle from our youth, even until now, both we and also our fathers, that ye may dwell in the land of Goshen, for every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians. Then Joseph came and told Pharaoh, and said, My father and my brethren and their flocks and their herds and all that they have are come out of the land of Canaan. And behold, they are in the land of Goshen. And he took some of his brethren, even five men, and presented them unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto his brethren, What is your occupation? And they said unto Pharaoh, Thy servants are shepherds, both we and also our fathers. They said moreover unto Pharaoh, For to sojourn in the land are we come. For thy servants have no pasture for their flocks, for the famine is sore in the land of Canaan. Now therefore we pray thee, let thy servants dwell in the land of Goshen. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, saying, Thy father and thy brethren are come unto thee. The land of Egypt is before thee. In the best of the land make thy father and brethren to dwell. In the land of Goshen let them dwell, and if thou knowest any men of activity among them, then make them rulers over my cattle. And Joseph brought in Jacob his father, and set him before Pharaoh, and Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Jacob, How old art thou? And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, The days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been. I have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers and the days of their pilgrimage. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from before Pharaoh. Amen. We'll end our reading there at the verse number 10. And we do pray the Lord will add his own blessing to this public reading of his eternal and infallible word to all our hearts. I want to welcome everyone this Lord's Day morning to God's house. It's good to see all who have gathered with us here today. We pray the Lord will richly bless you today around God's word and around the throne of grace as we pray and praise the Lord and seek his face. We pray the Lord will bless you. If you're a believer in the Lord, may you be encouraged. And if you're not saved, that this day would become the very day of your salvation. Welcome those who are visiting with us today. We trust you'll know the blessing of the Lord. Nice to see your brother, Mr. George Robinson, with us from Canada as well. And we pray that each one visiting with us here today will know the rich blessing of the Lord and God's blessing upon you as you fellowship with us today around God's word. Welcome also those who may be viewing online. We pray the Lord will bless you and meet you also at the point of your need today through his precious word. The announcements for the week are as follows. Do remember, please, the evening prayer meeting tonight at 6:30. Encourage as many as possible of God's people to gather together for prayer. Then the gospel service tonight at 7 p.m. And God willing, we'll be along to bring God's word. Pray for the meeting. Plan to join with us and to invite and to encourage others in under the sound of God's word. Tuesday night, 8 p.m., as a deputation meeting for the work of the Trinitarian Bible Society. And our brother, the Reverend Craig Dennison, will be with us to bring God's word and to give a report on that work. As a Bible Society, very worthy of our support and our prayers. They seek to be faithful to the authorized version of the Scriptures. And there will also be an offering for that work. So do remember that, please, Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Do pray for the children's meetings this coming week, each night at 6:30, Tuesday night at Tresna, Thursday night Maguire's Bridge, and then Friday night here in Bethel. And then on Friday evening at 8 p.m. is the youth fellowship meeting, and our brother Mr. Richard Edwards will be speaking of that. We commend that to all the young people. Trust as many as possible will gather for that evening of fellowship on Friday night. Next Lord's Day, the 26th of March, Sunday School and Bible Class, 11 a.m., morning worship service, 12 noon, the evening gospel service at 7 p.m., both services preceded by the half hour of prayer, and I'd be along to bring God's Word at both services next Lord's Day. Our brother, Mr. William Hearn, was to be with us next Lord's Day evening, but due to other circumstances, was unable to come to testify, but will be with us again later on in the year, God willing. This coming Friday night, the 24th of March at 8 p.m., in our Carrickfergus Church is the installation service for our brother, the Reverend John Woods. Do pray for him as he takes up that work there, that God's hand of blessing will be upon him and the family there in that new charge. And remember that service on Friday night at 8 p.m. This coming Saturday, also the 25th of March, at 11 a.m., our presbytery is organizing a protest against abortion, and that's at the gates of the Belfast City Hall. I'm told that meeting will last for about an hour. It's 11 a.m., and the preacher there will be our moderator, Reverend John Armstrong. Pray for that. I know it's quite a distance from here, but if you are able to go, do go along and support it. Monday night, the 27th of March at 8 p.m. in Corrick House Hotel, the Christian Institute organization is having a rally or a meeting, and the title is Defending the Faith, the Family, and Our Freedoms, and all are most welcome there to that service. There are invites for that out on the table in the porch. We commend that to you. And again, it's an organization worthy of our support and prayers. And do go along if you're free to that meeting on Monday night, the 27th of March. Do remember, please, the Easter Convention services in our Martyrs Memorial Church over the Easter weekend. Friday night, the 7th of April at 8 p.m. is the youth rally. Saturday night, the meeting recommences again on the Saturday night, the 8th of April at 7:30 p.m., the missionary rally. And then the Monday night, Easter Monday night, the 10th of April at 7 p.m., and there'll be various speakers and missionaries from across the world. Pray for those meetings and do plan to attend to them. And pray for God's blessing over that special season. Do pray for the gospel mission commencing today of our brother Colin Maxwell and Mr. Noel Shields at Park Noor there near Castle Caulfield outside Dungannon. That's for 2 weeks. Do be much in prayer for that. Again, a word of thanks to all who prayed for the mission out in Springfield, who helped in any way. God really answered prayer in a mighty way. It was a time of rich blessing. And we encourage you just to pray on that God will bless the seed that has been sown to the salvation of sinners, the restoring of backsliders, and the reviving of God's people. A number of the services have been recorded. I know Friday night's was and others as well. If you'd like a copy of any of those meetings, see our media team. Our next communion service will be this day, fortnight after the morning meeting, the 2nd of April. So do remember that, please, in the will of the Lord. That's all by way of necessary announcements. We're turning again in our hymn book to hymn number 409. 409 on the page 342. Oh, for a heart to praise my God, a heart from sin set free, a heart that always feels thy blood, so freely shed for me. The hymn number 409 will keep our seats. We don't take up an offering during the service, but the offering plates are at the rear. And do remember that as you leave. 409 is the hymn number.
Thank you.
the final verse, standing to sing. Turn again, please, to that passage of Scripture that we read earlier, to Genesis chapter 46 and Genesis chapter 47. And with God's Word open before us, let us unite, please, in a brief word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us already in our meeting this morning. We pray that that sense of Thy presence would intensify, increase among us, O God, we pray. And Lord, prepare our hearts to receive of meekness the engrafted word of life. May our hearts be opened up like Lydia's of old to hear what God the Lord would say. Bless thy word, O God, today to the saving of souls. Bless thy word today to the blessing and the edifying of the saints of God. And Lord, in all that is said and done, glorify thy name. Fill me, Lord, afresh with the Holy Ghost, with the power of God. Be mouth, matter, and wisdom to us in the proclamation of thy word. Pour out thy spirit upon preacher and upon congregation alike, and have thy way in all our hearts and lives as thou would see our individual need. We ask these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. Our text for today is verse number 29 of Genesis chapter 46, Genesis 46, verse 29. And Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to meet Israel, his father, to Goshen, and presented himself unto him, and fell on his neck, and wept on his neck a good while. Now, from time to time in our families, there are family gatherings, family reunions, perhaps maybe on the occasion of a birthday, maybe an occasion of a wedding anniversary, maybe at Christmas. We meet together with loved ones, and those times no doubt are very precious to us, and they are very memorable to us as a family and to all concerned. Well, in our Bible reading here today, we are told about a family reunion. Yes, here we read of Joseph and his brothers and his father Jacob meeting together. It is over 20 years since Joseph last saw his father face to face. In Genesis chapter number 45, back in that chapter, Joseph, he sent a message with his brothers telling Jacob that he, that is Joseph, that he was alive, and that Jacob and his family must come and live in Egypt. And there Joseph, he promised to look after them at a time of severe famine and dearth over the earth at that time. Now, overcoming his initial unbelief, we see how Jacob and his family, they go to live in Egypt. And it's important to note that this is all in accordance with God's will. Look at chapter 46 there. Look at what you read in verses 2 to 7 of the chapter. It says, "And God spoke unto Israel," that's Jacob, "in the visions of the night, and said, Jacob, Jacob, and he said, Here am I." And there with that little statement that occurs in special events in people's lives throughout the Scriptures where it says, "Here am I." Here was an occasion when Jacob said, "Here am I," and God then spoke to him. And he said, "I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. And I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again. And Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes." And Jacob rose up from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried Jacob their father and their little ones and their wives in the wagons which Pharaoh had sent to carry them. And they took their cattle and their goods, which they had gotten in the land of Canaan, and came into Egypt, Jacob and all his seed with him, his sons and his sons' sons with him, his daughters and his sons' daughters, and all his seed brought he with him down into Egypt. And there you see how Jacob, he moved in the will of God. God gave him a wonderful promise. He says, fear not to go. And he says, I will go down with thee into Egypt. And child of God, in our meeting this morning, can I say, yes, there's a vital lesson here for you and I as believers in the Christian life. Child of God, in the Christian life and all the major decisions of life that you and I have to make, decisions and choices that affect our lives individually, that affect our families and others connected with us, we must be very careful. We must be oh so careful as believers to act and to move in the will of God. A lot of Christians today make choices and they act and move out of the will of God and they go into a bypass meadow. But how important it is as believers that we act and we move in the will of God. In the book of Proverbs it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And there, believer, is a promise for you. And seeking to know the will of God for your life and the circumstances that concern your life, do not trust in self. Do not trust in the world. Do not trust in man. But trust in the Lord and look to the Lord. Acknowledge the Lord in the situation. Pray about the circumstances. Pray about the situation. Read the Word of God and ask the Lord to show you, to guide you, to lead you and direct you. And you will not be disappointed. Indeed, the psalmist could say, as for God, his way is perfect. And how important it is that we act and we move as Christians in the will of God. Maybe I'm speaking to a Christian today and you're at a major crossroads in your life. You're wondering which way to go, what thing to do. Well, Christian, do not step out of the will of God for your life. Look to the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. Let the Lord lead. Let the Lord guide. Let the Lord direct. Yes, in obedience to God's will, we see how Jacob, he goes down into Egypt. And he goes there to live with his family. And we see how he meets with Joseph. Look at verse number 28 there of Genesis chapter 46. It says of Jacob, and he sent Judah before him unto Joseph to direct his face unto Goshen. And they came into the land of Goshen. Goshen was a region in the northeastern corner of the land of Egypt, a very fertile part of the country. It was a place very close to the Sinai Peninsula. And it was then and there that Jacob was to meet with Joseph and the family was to be reunited again. Verse 29 says, and Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to meet Israel, his father, to Goshen, and presented himself unto him, and he fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. And there we have the family coming together. There is this family gathering. And people in our service this morning, it is this family gathering, this reunion of Joseph and his family that I want us to look at. It is a family gathering that has some very important lessons for us all in the meeting this morning. I want you to notice, first of all, here with me that this family reunion, it was marked with joy. It was marked with joy and gladness. Look again at verse 29 and verse number 30 of Genesis chapter 46. There it tells of Joseph and his father Jacob meeting together. It says, and Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to meet Israel, his father, to Goshen, and presented himself unto him, and he fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. And Israel, that is Jacob, said unto Joseph, now let me die, since I have seen thy face, because thou art yet alive. Yes, there were tears shed that day in that meeting, but they were not tears of sadness. They were tears of joy that they had come together again, father and son. It says there of Joseph that he fell on his neck and wept on his father's neck. It says, a good while. And my search words show that despite the passage of time of some 20 years or more, that the love here of father to son and son to father had not waned, it had not changed. You see, the Bible says that many waters cannot quench love, neither can floods drown it. And those words were very true in the relationship between Joseph and Jacob. And my such was the joy in Jacob's heart. Notice what he says there in verse number 30 to Joseph. He says, now let me die, since I have seen thy face, because thou art yet alive. And no doubt this was a prayer that only God would answer at God's appointed time. You see, our times are in God's hand. In Psalm 31, verse 15, David says, my times are in thy hand, and it is wrong for anyone to take their own life, and it is wrong for us also to wish our life away. In fact, Jacob was to live some 17 years longer after he had made this statement here to Joseph, and he said, now let me die, since I have seen thy face, because thou wert yet alive. God was to keep Jacob alive for another 17 years. In verse number 29 there we read of Joseph meeting together with his father Jacob. And it says of Joseph that he presented himself unto him. And the original language of the Old Testament, those words, they mean that Joseph revealed himself to his father Jacob in all his glory as ruler over all the land of Egypt. And my, this was a proof, this was a token, it was an evidence of God's blessing upon Joseph down in Egypt. You see, God says, them that honor me, I will honor. And my, this was very true in the life of Joseph. Joseph, he honored the Lord in Egypt. And the result was that God blessed him. God used him. And he put him into the position of ruler over all the land of Egypt. And no doubt this was something that brought great delight to the heart of his father Jacob when he saw God's hand of good and of blessing upon Joseph away from home down in the land of Egypt. But God was true to his word in the life of Joseph when he says, them that honor me, I will honor. And he reveals himself unto his father Joseph. He comes before him as ruler over all the land of Egypt. And you know, people, whenever we think here about Joseph's appearance before his father Jacob, is it not also a reminder to all of us here today how one day you and I also will stand before the God of heaven? Well, when Christ returns and power and in great glory, every single one of us will one day stand before God, our Maker and our Creator. Turning your Bible over to Romans chapter number 14. Romans chapter number 14. And look at what it says here as Paul writes about this very matter. Romans chapter 14, verses 10 to 12 of the chapter. He says, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand, notice it, before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. And just as Joseph appeared before his father Jacob, one day every one of us in this meeting will one day appear before the Lord and give account of our lives unto God. Yes, child of God, the Bible says that you and I, yes, one day we shall stand, it says there, before the judgment seat of Christ. And as believers, when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, we'll not be judged for our sins, but we'll be judged for our service to the Lord here on earth as Christians and as God's people. And my, whenever that day happens and when we stand before the Lord and give account of our life and our service to God, will we as Christians hear that commendation from Christ, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? Or will we have to say, "Lord, I wish I had given thee more"? Oh, living in the light of this day, the hymn writer could say, "Only one life to live. I must not miss the well done of God." That was the burden of the hymn writer. Believer, may that be the burden of your heart and my heart also in this life as we seek to serve the Lord and witness for Christ, that we do not miss the well done of God. But also, unsaved friend, in our meeting, there's a day coming when you too will stand before God in judgment. Yes, the believer will give account of their service, but unsaved friend, before God on the day of judgment, you'll give account of your life, of your sin, and of what you've done with Christ and what you've done with the gospel. And if you're to be saved on that day from the judgment of God and from being cast into the lake of fire where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched, then now in time you must flee to Christ. Now in time you must turn to the Lord as a repentant sinner and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. You see, the Bible says, "Flee from the wrath to come." If you're to be spared on God's judgment day and to be gathered with the redeemed into heaven, then now in time you must come to Christ. Confess your sins to Him. Trust in His atoning blood shed upon the cross of Calvary to wash away your sins, to save your never-dying soul. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And oh, if the day of Christ's appearing and the day of judgment and accountability is to be a day of joy and gladness for your heart, dear soul, then you need to close in with Christ, trust Him as Savior, and live day by day for His honor and for His glory. Yes, this family union we see was marked with joy and with gladness. But secondly, I want you to see something else here. This family union was also marked with humility and with heart searching. It was marked with humility and heart searching. You go down to chapter 47 there of Genesis and to the verse number 2. And here we read of Joseph and his brothers, and it says he took some of his brethren, even 5 men, and presented them unto Pharaoh. And here we read of Joseph presenting 5 of his brothers to Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Who those brothers are, where, we are not told their names, but there were 5 of his brothers. And he presents them to Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And you'll see from what is said at the end of the chapter before that Joseph, he prepares his brothers for this meeting with Pharaoh by telling them what they were to say to Pharaoh and in the presence of Pharaoh so that they could dwell in the land of Goshen. Look at verse 33 and verse 34 there of Genesis chapter 46. Here you have Joseph preparing his brothers for this meeting here with Pharaoh. And it says, "And it shall come to pass that when Pharaoh shall call you and shall say, 'What is your occupation?' that ye shall say, 'Thy servant's trade have been about cattle from our youth even until now, both we and also our fathers, that we may dwell in the land of Goshen. For every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians.'" Notice the mention there particularly of that question at the end of verse 33. What is your occupation? And you'll see the exact same question is mentioned in the next chapter in verse number 3. Whenever these brothers meet together in the presence of Pharaoh, it says, "And Pharaoh said unto his brethren, 'What is your occupation?'" What a question. What is your occupation? It was a question that was both heart-searching and a question that was also humbling to the brothers of Joseph. Why was this question a heart-searching question to them? It was a heart-searching question because it made them think, what is your occupation? It made them think. Think about their life. Made them think about what they were doing and what they intended to do. It was also a humbling question, for part of the brother's occupation was that of being a shepherd, and the Egyptians were a people who had a very low estimation of those who were shepherds. Mention is made of that at the end of verse 34 of chapter 46. It says, "For every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians." But people, I want you to think about that question. What is your occupation? That question there is mentioned at the end of verse 33 in chapter 46. And then again it is mentioned there in verse 3 of chapter 47. And surely the question, the exact same question, so close to one another and such close proximity on these two occasions, surely it is a question that God wants you and I also to think about, to ponder and to consider as we look together at the life of this man, Joseph. What is your occupation? It's very interesting to note that a similar question virtually was asked of Jonah. Jonah was a Christian, but he was a disobedient Christian. He was a prophet running away from the Lord, running away from the will of God for his life. And in Jonah 1 verse 8, the question is put to Jonah, what is thine occupation? In other words, what is your occupation? What are you doing at this point in your life? And again, with a similar question over in the New Testament, the book of James. James chapter 4 in the verse number 14, the question is asked there, for what is your life? In other words, what is your occupation? What is your life? What is the main drive in your life day by day? What are you doing with your life? What are you living for? Oh, people, is that not a valid question for us all to think about today in the light of God's Word? What is your occupation? What is your life today? Tell me, child of God, when you think of those words, can you say, yes, I'm living for the Lord, living for Christ, living for the gospel, living for the things of God, the extension of His kingdom? Or is it the case, dear believer, that you're living for self, living for the things of this world, living for sin and that which is contrary to the Lord and the ways of God? Maybe I'm speaking to one today and the Lord has asked you to do something. Yet like Jonah, you've turned away. You've sought to do your own thing and go your own way. Believer, remember this, that the things of this world, they do not last. The Bible says the things of this world which are seen, the Bible says they are temporal, they are fleeting, they do not last. Child of God, in this world, you and I were to live loose to the things of this world. Oh, it's vital, yes, as believers, that we do not allow ourselves to be entangled with the sinful ways of this ungodly world. The Bible says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Yes, it's vital that we do not be ensnared by the evils of this ungodly world as Christians, as believers. In our opening psalm of praise this morning, we sung about the blessed man. And how is his life described? It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now, that's the blessed man. That's the blessed Christian that keeps himself or herself aloof from the evil ways, the ungodly ways of this world, of this scene of time. You remember the words of James, and he's writing especially in the chapter to Christians, to those who were saved. In James chapter 1, verse 15, he says, "Their sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." What's the warning there to you and I as believers, as Christians? It is this, that sin, disobedience in our lives to the ways of God, it will deaden our life, deaden our testimony, our witness for the Lord. It will hinder our walk and our fellowship with God. What is your life? What is thine occupation? What is your occupation? How are you living, dear believer, child of God, week by week? before your family, in your workplace, in your community, how you're living. Yes, the way of blessing for us is to obey the Lord and to do the will of God and to serve His will in our day and in our generation. Turning your Bible over to 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter number 15. Look with me there at verse number 22. 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse number 22. It says, "Hath the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." Believer, when you have a choice between the Lord and the world, when you have a choice between the ways of God and the ways of the ungodly, always remember this: to obey the Lord. Obey His word. Obey His truth. Obey His will for your life. The Bible says, "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice." That was the mark, most definitely, of the life of Joseph. God blessed Joseph. God used Joseph. It has been said to obey God's will is to find the fulfillment of our lives. Many people today seeking for fulfillment in the world and the ways of sin and the ways of ungodliness and ways that are contrary to God. But dear people, the place of true fulfillment is in serving the Lord, doing the will of God, obeying the Lord, and doing His will in your life day by day. Yes, this family union was marked by joy and gladness. It was marked by humility and heart searching. You'll see something else about this family reunion here in Genesis 46 and 47. It was also a family reunion that was marked by respect and by honor. You'll see that in this reunion, Joseph, first of all, shows respect for Pharaoh, a king of Egypt. Look at chapter 47, verse 1. It says, "And Joseph came and told Pharaoh and said, 'My father and my brethren and their flocks and their herds and all that they have are come out of the land of Canaan, and behold, they are in the land of Goshen.'" And there you see how Joseph shows respect for Pharaoh, a king of Egypt, on this occasion, tells him what was happening and all that was going on with the coming in of his family to live in the land of Goshen. And that surely reminds us that as believers, yes, with the exception of being asked to do things that are contrary to the Word of God and the will of God as Christians, yes, we are to be peaceful. We are to be respectful, law-abiding citizens of the land. Romans 13, verse 1 says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For it is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. As much as lieth in you, live peaceably," the Bible says, "with all men." And but with the exceptions of those times when we are told to do things that are contrary to the Word of God, why, we were to live as believers that peaceful life, law-abiding citizens, respectful in the land and in the nation. And we see here that Joseph showed respect to Pharaoh, but not only did his respect end there, he also went on in this reunion to show respect and honor for his father, Jacob. And you see this in his introduction of Jacob to Pharaoh. Look at verse 7 of the chapter. It says, "And Joseph brought in Jacob his father and set him before Pharaoh." Now bear in mind, what Jacob was like at this time. Jacob was now an old man. He was 130 years of age. No doubt he was weak in body. And you see that from what is said in the next two verses. For Pharaoh spoke to him. He said, "How old art thou?" As soon as Pharaoh saw Jacob, he knew he was an old man. And in verse 9, Jacob said unto Pharaoh, "The days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been, and have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of my pilgrimage." Jacob was now an old man. No doubt he was weak in body. No doubt his body was scarred with all the trials of life that had beset his way. But despite all this, the thing here to note is that Joseph is not ashamed of his father. For he presents him here to Pharaoh, emperor and king over all the land of Egypt. And in doing so, he is a blessing to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh is blessed through Jacob. Look at what you read there at the end of verse 7 and verse number 10 of the chapter. It says, "And Joseph brought Jacob his father and sent him before Pharaoh." And notice it, "And Jacob blessed Pharaoh." Again in verse 10 it says, "And Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from before Pharaoh." And all of this, you see how Joseph shows great respect and honor for his father, Jacob. And you know, Jacob's honoring of his father on this occasion, does it not remind us all of our duty regarding the fifth commandment? What is the fifth commandment? Turning your Bible over to Exodus chapter number 20, Exodus chapter 20. And here you have in the opening part of that chapter the list of the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments is God's moral law for all of society right to the end of time. There are people today would say the moral law is no longer relevant. That is unscriptural. The moral law is for all mankind to abide by and to live by to the end of time. And look at the fifth commandment, verse number 12 of Exodus chapter number 20. It says there, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth." And that speaks of blessing upon those who honor and respect their parents. Children in our meeting today, can I say yes, whenever you're young, you are to honor and obey and respect your parents. This is what the Bible commands you to do when you're young. It applies in the New Testament church as well. For Paul said to the church at Ephesus, he says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." But people, this also means no matter how old we are, or no matter how old our parents are, we're to do all we can to care for them, to help them, to help them in life, no matter how senior they are, no matter how senior their years may be. And people, the Lord promises to bless us and to make us a blessing when we honor and when we respect our parents. That is something that is taught in the Scriptures. It's not maybe the teaching of the world today, but it's the teaching of the Word of God. And it's the teaching of the Word of God that counts. Ephesians 6 verse 2 says, "Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee." And here we see how God blessed Joseph, he blessed Jacob, and made this whole reunion a blessing even to Pharaoh, who was an ungodly man. But the fact that Joseph honored the Lord, honored the fifth commandment, God blessed him and used him and made him a blessing through his father even unto to Pharaoh himself. Turn with in your Bible back to Genesis chapter number 5. Genesis chapter number 5. And I want you to turn to verse 28 and verse 29 of the chapter. And here we read of Lamech. Lamech was the father of Noah. I want you to see what Lamech says very especially about Noah, his son. Genesis chapter 5, verse 28 and verse 29. It says, "And Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son. And he called his name Noah." And the name Noah literally means rest or comfort. "And he called his name Noah, saying, the same shall comfort us." Notice the use of the word "us" there, no doubt. Lamech was speaking there of his wife and the rest of the family. He says, "The same shall comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed." There Lamech speaks of his son Noah being a blessing, being a comfort in the home, in the family, to his wife and to the rest of the family. He says, "The same shall comfort us." No doubt he would be a comfort and a blessing to them in their old age. But why was this the case? Why was Noah a blessing to his parents, a blessing to his home, and a blessing to his family? The answer is the grace of God in his life and the godly testimony that he lived. Look at the next chapter, Genesis 6, verses 8 and 9. It says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. And notice that little phrase there, Noah found grace. The grace of God made all the difference in his life. Blessed Noah, made Noah a blessing to his parents, to his home, to his family. And no doubt a comfort to them. Oh, young people in our meeting today, older people alike in our gathering, if you and I, yes, are to be a blessing and a comfort to our families, to our homes, to our parents, to our loved ones, to our neighborhoods, where we live, then by the grace of God in our lives, let us seek to follow the godly example of Joseph before us, and the godly example, no doubt, of Noah as well here that is mentioned in Genesis 6. Let us, by the grace of God, seek to follow such godly examples. The Bible says, dear believer, in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8, that God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound unto every good work. The grace of God, dear believer, can meet your every need. And that same grace can help you and enable you in all the circumstances of life. In your home, in your family, amongst your loved ones, in the workplace, in the community where you live, to leave a mark for God and to be a blessing for God and to bring glory and honor to God in your life day by day. Oh, as it was so with Joseph, may it be so in each and every one of our lives for the glory and for the honor of God. We're going to close our meeting this morning by singing together the hymn number 747 in your hymn book, 747. O give us homes built firm upon the Savior, where Christ is head and counselor and guide, where every child is taught his love and favor and gives his heart to Christ the crucified. How sweet to know that though its footsteps waver, the faithful Lord is walking by its side. 747, we'll stand as we sing.
Christ is in, and I'm sure.
Father and our God, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us today. We thank Thee for help given in the ministry of Thy Word. Write Thy Word and the truths of Thy Word upon our hearts. Let us not forget Thy Word, but help us to hide Thy Word in our hearts, Lord, that we might not sin against Thee, and that by the grace of God in our lives as Thy people day by day, in our homes, in our families, amongst our loved ones, in our workplaces and in the community where we live, help us, Lord, just day by day to live for Thee, to live, Lord, for Thine honor and for Thy glory, and to serve our generation doing the will of God. For any, Lord, in our gathering today not see, if speak to them, may realize there's a day coming when they must stand before God and give account. And oh, that today they would settle that matter once and for all by coming unto Christ and trusting Him as their Savior. Part us with Your fear and favor. Take us to our homes and safety. Bless us throughout Thy day. Return us again in Thy will this evening hour, we ask. We pray all these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. And amen.